Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
The sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
So good evening to our listeners. We thank God for another wonderful Saturday evening. I'm Eben. From now till 9 p.m. I'll be with you, and I trust you are going to be blessed as we go through some news, some things happening in the world, and we continue the series on deception. And I believe, yeah, we can do all this within the time slot. A lot is happening in the news. If you follow the world news, you'd realize that so many things are happening, the wars, rumors of wars, and all that. So let's start with the first. That's top Israeli generals have just approved Lebanon offensive battle plans. Invariably realize the war in Israel, there seems to be no end. It seems to be expanding towards the northern part. So the next news is Israel warns of potential all-out war after Hezbollah publishes video of military and civilian sites. That's something else, because Hezbollah is much stronger than the Hamas, and that's where the difficulty comes in, because that means more complex issues follows, because Hezbollah, it's known that they have over 150,000 missiles and they can really unleash. So this week there was one intelligence report that the US government is even discussing amongst the intelligence community about the fact that Israeli defense systems can be overwhelmed by the Hezbollah missiles, because you know every defense system, there's a stretch limit, because if you can fire 10 missiles, so you can shoot down 10 missiles and they shoot 100, and that means your system can be overwhelmed. So that's the worry within the intelligence community. But well, all things are possible. Let's just see how things go. It's best this war doesn't happen. But the other side of it is the Houthi rebels have been firing missiles towards the Red Sea, and this week they sank a second vessel, a shipping. So the shipping industry is sounding the alarm as another vessel sinks in the Red Sea. The leading shipping groups have urged governments with influence to put a stop to Houthi attacks on vessels in the Red Sea after a second freighter sank this week. At least 3 seafarers have been killed in attacks so far. The latest sinking is likely to have led to another death, according to a statement on Wednesday from more than a dozen shipping associations, including the International Chamber of Shipping and World Shipping Council. Their call for action highlights the growing human toll from the disruption to one of the world's trade arteries, which has been virtually closed to container ships since late last year. The longer diversion around the southern tip of Africa has sent shipping costs soaring and is causing congestion at ports in Asia and Europe, threatening to scramble global supply chains. It is deplorable that innocent seafarers are being attacked while simply performing their jobs. Naturally, so ships that would have passed through the Suez Canal now have to go down to South Africa, come and pass through, West Africa before they can go to Europe. So shipping costs multiple by three and all that, you know, costs has really shot up, and it's affecting everything, because one shipping, you know how China is a major supplier, a lot of things are imported from China. So if the cost triples or quadruples or whatever, the consumers will bear the brunt. So cost of living things will be pushed higher. All right, then we have the next one that says Putin and Kim. So Putin and Kim sign war pact against the West. So Russian President Vladimir Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on Wednesday signed a new partnership that includes a vow of mutual aid if either country faces aggression, in a pact that came as both face escalating standoffs with the West. Details of the deal were not immediately clear, but it could mark the strongest connection between the Moscow and Pyongyang since the end of the Cold War. Both leaders described it as a major upgrade of their relations, covering security, trade, investment, and cultural and humanitarian ties. The two met as Putin visited North Korea for the first time in 24 years. The summit came as the U.S. and its allies expressed growing concerns over possible arms arrangement in which the country provides Moscow with badly needed munitions for its war in Ukraine in exchange for economic assistance and technology transfers that could enhance the threat posed by Kim's nuclear weapons and missile program. And this has also given another news that says Putin warns South Korea against arming Ukraine. So Vladimir Putin has warned South Korea it would be making a big mistake if it arms Ukraine in the war against Russia. His comments came after Seoul said it was considering such a possibility in response to Russia and North Korea's new pact to help each other in the event of aggression against either country. Moscow will make decisions which are unlikely to please the current leadership of South Korea if Seoul decides to supply arms to Kiev, Mr. Putin told reporters on Thursday. The Russian leader was speaking in Vietnam shortly after a lavish visit to Pyongyang, where he signed a mutual defense agreement with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. So this agreement means that if Russia is under attack, North Korea will have to come in to help. Likewise, North Korea under attack, Russia will have to help. And, you know, this is the alliance that is forming, you know. So the next two big boys to join will be Iran and then China. And already they are friends. So, you know, it's not far-fetched if this alliance becomes stronger and stronger. And the way things are going, you realize the countries are putting their pieces together. NATO is already recruiting. Last week I talked about the fact that they have 300,000 troops ready. You know, they are pushing for war. They are pushing for war with Russia and all that. And it's amazing how some countries can really be craving for war. But at the end of the day, you have to understand how these politicians think and behave. On the surface, it will look, yes, war is destructive and all. But behind the scenes, there are those who also have ulterior motives, financial gains to make and all that. You know, the power players benefit when such things happen. You know, last week I mentioned our father, the five leading military private companies in the U.S., their shares skyrocketed when this Ukraine war started, and huge billions of dollars, I mean, just flowing into their accounts because they are the ones providing the missiles, tankers, this and that. And it's always in their interest if such wars keep going, you know. And behind the scenes, the politicians will get their share. So, I mean, you know, politicians, it's not only in Ghana, in Africa, that they cut deals. They do it all over. So, you see, these wars are meant to really, you know, move money around, and that has been the game these Western nations have been doing. All America pushing war, but behind the scenes, some people benefit. And they don't care about the losses, because if it were to be in the olden days where the king or the president is leading the charge to fight, they would think twice before entering into some of these wars. All right, so we go to the next one that says Massachusetts in the U.S., the state of Massachusetts, unanimously passes a bill that would legalize sale of babies by pregnant mothers. America. So it's impossible to stress enough how much abandoning of biblical authority and thus absolute morality of the Christian worldview has impacted our society, hurting the most vulnerable women and children. And a new bill that unanimously passed the Massachusetts House just highlights another layer of brokenness that comes from leaving behind God's design for marriage, gender, and sexuality. Apparently, this bill is designed to make it easier for LGBTQ couples specifically to establish parentage rights so that a non-biological parent can be considered the parent of a child without having to go through the formal adoption process. Keeping pace with the changes that are occurring in society, as one House speaker put it, continues to degrade God's design for the family, but it gets worse than simply making it easier for LGBTQ couples to have children, which purposely deprives a child of either a mother or a father. No. Then according to the Federalist, this bill will have some very serious consequences, allowing a mother to legally sell their child. This bill redefines parenthood as a person's intent to be a parent of a child. That is bad enough. So God's design is for a child to have a mother and a father who are married to each other, not for a child to have parents defined as whoever wants to be the child's parent. But it gets worse. The bill allows for commercial surrogacy of a woman's own biological child. Usually, a surrogate is not carrying her own baby. The egg is provided by another woman, either purchased by the couple or provided by the intended mother, fertilized outside the womb, and then transferred to the surrogate's womb. This new bill allows a woman to offer her own offspring to someone else and receive compensation for it. And reportedly, she can even draw up and accept a surrogacy agreement after the child is already conceived. What an abominable society we live in. The world is becoming something else. Okay, but at least there's one good news this week that passed through. Louisiana becomes the first state in the U.S. to require all public school classrooms to display the Ten Commandments. And at least that's one good one. So Louisiana has become the first state to require that Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom, the latest move from a GOP-dominated legislature pushing a conservative agenda under a new governor. The legislation that Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed into law on Wednesday requires a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in large, easily readable fonts in all public classrooms from KG to state-funded universities. That's good. But opponents questioned the law's constitutionality and vowed to challenge it in court. Proponents said the measure is not solely religious, but it has historical significance. In the language of the law, the Ten Commandments are foundational documents of our state and national government. The posters, which will be paired in four-paragraph contest statements describing how the Ten Commandments were a prominent part of American public education for almost three centuries, must be in place in classrooms by the start of 2025. Under the law, state funds will not be used to implement the mandate. The posters will be paid for through donations. That's interesting, but good. Okay. So, in New York, a mob of teenagers held through traffic cones and bottles at a Jewish man on the Brooklyn street. And, you know, so this Jewish man dressed so conspicuously, the cap and all that, I mean, you could see that he was a Jew. They attacked him. But you see, this is becoming one too many, because in France, the 12-year-old girl, I mean, has been raped this week because she is a Jew. The hatred for Jews is just escalating across the Western world, and it's unfortunate that people just suffer such abuses simply because they are Jews. But you know, the Bible is clear about it. Jesus said, "You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake." The hatred for the Jews, yes, today we are seeing the Jews that are being hated. It's because of the God factor, Jews, be Israel and all. But eventually, we'll get to a point where it will extend beyond just the Jews to all those who believe in the God of the Israel. So Christians will be lumped together with the Jews. We are all believers of God, the same God of Abraham. So, well, the hatred for Jews will be akin to the hatred for Christians. These are the times ahead in terms of like when the hatred, persecution is more rife and all that. But what we are seeing happening to the Jews, demonstrations, anti-Jew demonstrations, anti-Semitism and all that, these are just signals of what the world is beginning to, the anti-God. Let me put it this way, see? It, on the surface, it looks anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, but technically, if you really analyze it well and really question the motive and the mindset of the people, they just hate that there is a country that still stands by the fact that God gave them the land. These are God's chosen people. So it's a God hatred, anti-God thing. But so you are the representatives of God. So your God gave you this land. Your God, your so-called God, that hatred is what necessitates these things. So that's why it will be so easy to spill over eventually onto the Christian community as well at the right time. Okay, then we have this one that is very interesting and gives us hope that we have a living book, the Word of God. Researchers discover proof of Bible story that took place 2,700 years ago regarding angels killing. No, but that thing is, it's just an angel that killed, one angel that killed 185,000 soldiers in a single night. So, proof of Bible story about angel killing, the report wrote angels, but if you really get into the Bible, it's angel. Killing 185,000 soldiers in the night is uncovered after 2,700 years. There has not been any archaeological evidence that the supernatural event or even the battle actually happened. Now, using modern mapping techniques, archaeologist Stephen Compton claims he has found more evidence of the epic battle that took place. The Assyrian Empire operated from 1365 to 609 BC, hundreds of years before the time of Christ. The invasion of Jerusalem was driven by the empire's king Sennacherib, who wanted to assert his political and economic dominance over all the routes across the Syrian desert that led to the Mediterranean Sea. Researchers had previously discovered a scene carved into a stone, the stone walls of the king Sennacherib's palace, which celebrated his conquest of Lachish, a city of 42 miles south of Jerusalem. The carvings showed how the military base was laid out, allowing Compton to compare it to photos taken of the area in the early 1900s. Then he noted an area that was the same size and shape of the drawings of the palace wall, which led to ruins containing the remains of the perimeter wall and the pottery shards. After conducting archaeological survey of the site, Compton determined that it was abandoned after Sennacherib's invasion and that humans hadn't inhabited the area for at least 2,600 years. The finding has paved the way for researchers to locate other similar military sites in the area, and they hope it will lead to uncovering ancient cities that were destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. In 2021, Compton wrote in a post on X, formerly Twitter, that he had discovered the location of Sennacherib's military camps. Each was a round site, a little over a mile north of the receptive old city walls, and each bore the same Arabic name on at least one early map. And that's what he wrote. And then he goes on to say that location also signified that it was the site where Sennacherib forces planned the attack, because it was called Kebet El Mudawa in Arabic, meaning the ruins of the camp of the invading ruler. Before Compton discovered the Assyrian site, researchers had only encountered one other ancient military campsite in the area. The secondary site was occupied during the Roman siege of Jerusalem, and its layout gave researchers a way to compare the layout of the military camp to the Assyrians. The Roman military camps were also rectangular, whereas this was oval. The characteristic shape of the Assyrian camps, Compton wrote in the press release. The methods of Compton used to find Sennacherib's campsite has led to the discovery of other Assyrian military camps. In other cases, it has also been possible to use the newly discovered camps to locate the sites of ancient cities that were known to have been besieged by the Assyrians, but whose locations were unknown or uncertain, Compton wrote. Okay, all right. So that's it. Let me look for that verse and we read it. So that's the Word of God, is something that we can trust. The Word of God, the historical part of it, the stories aspect, and all the prophecies and all that, we can bank our hopes on it. We can trust it as a valid document, spiritual book we can trust. You know, and in as much as the Word of God is what it is, the devil is also not interested in we knowing the truth. So he would also want to contaminate and distort and try to confuse us and all that. This is why we also have to be careful about the deception of the times that we are in. And that's the important reason why this discussion of deception is going on issues of life. Anyway, I'll be back briefly after this short break. Listen to this song by Amy Grant.
The Dressed up like an ant?
Because there are ants in the driveway and I need to tell them that they need to move before Dad comes home and drives over them.
Why don't you just pick them up and move them?
Because there's too many.
Why don't you just sweep them out of the way?
Because it'll hurt them.
Why don't you just squirt them away with water?
I tried that, but they just came back.
So why are you dressed up like an ant?
Because I want to be like Jesus.
Jesus didn't dress up like an ant.
Yeah, but he became a baby and grew up and told us that he loves us and that we need him.
When did he do that?
At Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to become an ant and tell them that they have to move before Dad comes home.
Can I help?
Yeah, you go get Dad's headphones and we'll glue some springs on for antennas.
Okay, then what?
Then you go tell them that I'm coming and then...
Hi, kids, I'm home.
No!
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
These people, very nice storylines. Okay, welcome back to Spirit Issues, Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. All right, so 2 Kings 19, let me read from verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same way shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my own servant David's sake. Verse 35, the verse of interest. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord, you know, when I read the news, they wrote angels, but you see, this is where we have to be alert as believers. But you know, it's angel. I know, I've read it before, so I know it's an angel, not angels. Someone will just overlook it and like, oh, angels is angel. But the Bible says angel one, but the news made it angels. This is where we have to be alert when it comes to deception and twisting and, you know, all the stuff that people use to... This is just a normal, their intention is not to deceive, but it's an example of how sometimes we can see something, people twist it for the purpose of, you know, pushing an agenda, and they intentionally twist it. But then people, oh, it doesn't matter. So someone will see it and say, oh, it doesn't matter. But we should stick to exactly what the Bible says. So, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. One angel killing 185,000. I mean, the message that one carries is different from if it's the angels killed 185,000. That could mean that, well, maybe God released 185,000 angels, each one for each, so one to one. In as much as it's a miracle, it's the power of that miracle is not the same as one killing 185,000 compared to if many killing 185,000. So the word of God, we should hold it as it is. And that's how important is it that we should have the word in us. We should know the word of God so that as soon as it's being twisted, we can spot it. As soon as we are it's being diluted, we can identify it. So we've been on this series of the deception, how to keep ourselves from the deception. We've looked at a number of keys, 6 keys. Let me quickly run through. We should be careful how we trust any man of God in these times. And then we should be Bible students, learning the Bible, studying the Bible. I don't mean going to the Bible school, but being studious of the Bible ourselves. Then we should have discernment, because that's a very fundamental thing when it comes to deception. And then we should allow the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, to guide us. And then we should walk in wisdom. And then last week we looked at the desire to grow spiritually. Then the seventh point, that's tonight, we are looking at, we must have a mindset to be resolute in our beliefs. And let's read Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And then we can also look at this verse, James 1:8, that says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, we have people, a lot of believers these days, who are just tossed to and fro. They hear this, boom, they move. They hear that, boom, they move. Hey, this prophet says this is the latest. They go, then you see, they don't even know what they believe in. So they are just tossed to and fro. They are not grounded in what they truly believe in as believers. So anything goes. So today, if you do this, it's a sin. Tomorrow, if you don't do this, it's not. I mean, they are just confused. They just don't know what they stand for. So such people, they become easy prey to deception, because, I mean, they don't have their own stance as to, this is my belief, this is what I believe in, this is the doctrine I stand by. Anything that is contrary to this, I'll be careful about it. No, they don't have such a position. So they just move according to their feelings and according to what their ear testicles and whatever they feel like, they just follow. And we should be guided in these times, especially now that deception is becoming something and is going to even be more serious in the times ahead. We should be resolute in what we believe in. If we have believed in Christ and we know that this is the right way to go, this is the right thing to follow, we should be grounded in it, so that we are not deceived and swayed away by other. You know, it's interesting how some new doctrines keep coming. And you see, one thing that follows these people, this new, it's like a new revelation. It's like they want to prove that this is the latest revelation that God has revealed. No one knows it. This is the most, it's like always trying to outdo each other, trying to, this one has seen this, this is the most powerful thing. You know, the word of God is the word of God. So if we are coming with any new revelation from the word of God, which invariably is also contrary, because it doesn't really align with the word of God, I mean, we cannot hold on to it that this is a new revelation that we got from the word of God. So suddenly it overrides all others that we've known, the doctrines that have stood the test of time biblically. Now your new revelation that you had is more powerful. So it's the word of God that we've known. We shouldn't accept it as it is. We should amend what we've known and believe the new one. You know, these are things coming up, because you hear some strange things and it's amazing. Today I saw one, it's like, oh, come on, God help your children. I mean, this pastor is in, he's in Kumasi, and it's like someone shared it somewhere. I saw it, okay, let me just briefly see what's happening there. And it's like you ask yourself, is this the gospel? You know, it's pure philosophy that is being taught science and, you know, dream. I mean, if you analyze it, realize these things border on astrology and all, and these are very slippery areas Christians should be careful about. But you know, when I get to these videos, I normally want to just the comments to just see how people think, and their followers also how they respond and they defend and all that. And you go through and it's like, wow. I mean, how can people be so gullible? So you see two contrasting, those who really are solid Christians, who are grounded in the word, oppose, and they state biblical reasons why no, this can't be right and all that. And then you see the blind followers say, this is deep, our father is deep, you know, and you people. And it's like, you see, we should be careful of deep thing. I mean, how deep and deep, what deep thing you want to see and know again? I mean, the fundamentals is even enough for us. But our father, our papa is deep. What deep again? But you see, believers, itching ears, as Paul wrote, so they just want to hear things, and it's like, wow, fascinating, this is powerful. And you see, this is where the deception comes in, where it's like people are being led to these so-called deep things, and then they stray away from the truth, and then they start believing in all sorts of philosophical things which are not grounded in the word of God, you know. So we should be mindful of these things, because if we don't set boundaries for ourselves that I'm a solid believer, this is what I believe in, I'm standing my ground, yes, this is the word of God, I'm careful with all other new things, doctrines that are cropping up and all that. If we don't define ourselves that way, we can be swayed by new things. It does, you see, the first point I started with in this thing is we should be careful who we trust and all that. If you don't have that fixed position that this is what I believe in, because you know it's the right thing. If you don't have that fixed position and you are the type who trusts people or trusts any man of God, any woman of God and all that. See, the reason why we should be mindful of the trust factor is human beings can change. They can get into error. Besides, Jesus has given us an advance notice that many will be in error. Many will be deceivers. Many will be false and all that in the latter days. So if you have this mindset and this caution in your mind, you know that then if, example, you have 1,000 pastors, but then you know that if the Bible says many will be deceivers, then you know that a majority of the 1,000 will become deceivers at a point in time. So it doesn't matter if you are trusting someone today, you should always know that there is the possibility the person can sway, the person can be deceived, the person can be contaminated and all that. So that if the person decides to get deceived and now go off, you don't also follow the deception. See, that's why we should be guided by how we trust. To what limits are we going to trust people? You see, I mean, someone made a statement recently and I found it very interesting. That is, believers, we should believe in God, believe in the word, believe in his prophets, believe his pastors, trust and all that. But we should not leave out our brains. And I believe that is a right statement, because you see, that's why one of the points was we should walk in wisdom. We should learn to apply wisdom, because sometimes you can see that clearly this is off. I mean, basic wisdom alone will tell you that this is off. But because people are just not applying basic wisdom, they fall for it. So you see, that's why we should be resolute in what we believe in. So that tomorrow when you are told that the sun, it doesn't rise from the east again. No, now a new revelation has come that the sun will start rising from the west. I mean, you don't fall for it. You know the sun rises from the east. Hold it like that. People have held on to that and then nothing has happened. But you see, if when you want to follow this deep revelation thing, oh, now Charlie, there's a new revelation the Lord has shown in the Word of God. We've seen some verse that shows that the sun can now rise from the west. Somebody will say this for, I mean, for the purpose of this discussion, an example of how strange, twisting, and opposing views. So you know the sun rises from the east, and you've known it right from your infancy. Since you became born again, you've known that this is the right doctrine, this is the right thing to do, this is the right way to go, and all that. Then from nowhere, suddenly, a new deep revelation comes that, oh, that old way that we used to be on, now it's no longer, it's old school, but a new one has come, and that is better. So let's leave the old way of doing things, and now let's follow this new deep revelation God has revealed in the Word of God. But you see, when such a proposal comes, and is still linked to the Word of God, now go deeper into the Word of God. Is that exactly what that verse or what the Word prescribes? Because people still take the verse and twist and break their neck and make it something that is not what it is. Like, you know, I mean, they just pick and choose a verse, then use it to say what it's not saying. So, you know, sometimes I see, I mean, some Nigerian pastors back and forth, this one says this one says that. And there's one in particular who I think I don't know whether he enjoys being controversial or whatever it is, but you know, you say things which are exactly opposite what is in the Word of God. And he says it with all the boldness and quote unquote sincerity on his face. It's like, if you are not grounded, like we are saying, being determined in your mind that this is what resolute, this is what I believe in. You may be twisted, I mean, you may be deceived by this twisted thing, because he also quotes scripture to make it look like this, his is the right way and his is the right one. But he is clearly off. Clearly off. And see, that's why we should know what we believe in and hold on to it. You know, someone said something which I believe and I support as well, that the same gospel that has saved people for centuries, they held on and they were able to keep on the faith, hold on till they died, is the same thing that we also have. Let's hold on like that. And then little by little, the grace and the Holy Spirit will help us to also finish our race. We should not go chasing new. I mean, what new again? We are in 2024. That tells us many years have passed by, as many centuries have gone. We are not the first believers, so we are not the first people to be Christians. So why do we behave sometimes and act? I mean, we have some leaders act and behave as if they are the ones who, the custodians of the gospel. They are the ones who, I mean, is their mandate to, you know, give a new gospel or a new whatever. I mean, I don't know how they want to play it out, but we are not the first set of believers to be on the surface of the earth. I mean, many have come and gone, and they did well. They were persecuted, they succeeded, they endured, some didn't. But over the years, we've had several believers pass through this earth. Why do we want us to be so special that we are the ones who have deep revelations that all previous generations never had? I mean, what's wrong? What is so special about us that makes us think that we are the most knowledgeable than all other generations of believers that went ahead of us? You see, the same gospel they believed in, the same Bible they read, and they held on to their faith, let's hold on to it like that. It's enough for us. It's enough for us. What new deep things again do we want to see? I mean, sometimes it's amazing how, and especially this current crop of youth in the church, in the body of Christ, I don't know what magic they want to see, what new things, new revelations. You know, in seeking and chasing these things, then you run into error. That's the danger. So people will not even bother to sit and study the Bible themselves. There are people who are busy chasing, they want to hear new deep things, Meanwhile, the basic fundamentals, basic quiet time, morning quiet time, they are not even doing it. But they are busy chasing. They want to hear wild revelations. And then when it's being, all the exclamations, it's like deep. Papa, preach, wow. I mean, and then what? You see, meanwhile, these people, the foundation, the basic foundations as a believer, they lack it. They lack it because, you see, you have believers who can't even defend the faith they believe in. What they believe in, they can't even defend it. Why they believe or why they are who they are in Christ, they can't even explain it. You see, so we have a lot of shallow believers moving all around the place, making so much noise, but little substance. And that is the problem, because we have the lack of knowledge in the Word of God. People are not reading the Word, people are not studying the Word, but are more interested in the prophetics, want to hear things, want to see things. No, for those who have not watched this movie, on YouTube, watch it, it's very nice. Prophet Suddenly, the part one was good, but the part two is a blast. It's amazing how when the part two was released, just last, barely 3 weeks ago, you should see how some of the prophets, the false prophets, are reacting angrily about the movie. This movie is meant to destroy the body of Christ. It's an attack on the church. Which attack on the church? It's invariably, when they are saying it's an attack on the church, they are saying that it's an attack on their business. Because, you see, the movie exposes a lot. Prophets Suddenly too. The part two, Prophet Suddenly too. This Winlow's group in Nigeria, and it's a good movie. They shot largely in Ghana, Nigeria and Ghana in South Africa, but Ghana is where the main Accra, the main shooting happened. And it's nice. It exposes, and that's the reality. This is what we are seeing around and all that. But you see, you realize this is the state of the church today, largely. So people are more interested in the prophetic, tell us, but the Word is missing. The Word is missing. But if we don't have, we are not resolute in our minds that this is what I believe in, this is what I'm defending. If you don't have that, then any wind that blows, it will blow you away from the faith. Any wind at all, any wind that blows. See, we have different levels of wind. When it's raining, sometimes trees, leaves blowing, you see the wind blowing, so the movement of the trees, some branches breaking and all that. But it doesn't compare to what happens in parts of the U.S. when the hurricanes are moving, the hurricane, depending on the category and all that. You see, so the various levels of wind. There is a strong, extreme one, category 5, which is extremely, extremely dangerous. And there is a low one, like category 1, 2, and all. But they are still dangerous. But the severity increases as the speed and the force and all goes high. For a lot of believers, or some believers, even the normal wind that blows before rains here in Kumasi is enough to blow them off their feet. Not even a hurricane type. The normal basic winds that blow before the rains here will blow them off. How much more when the real hurricane, which is really enforced and empowered, is coming? You see, if we are not grounded, we are not grounded now, then when the big storms begin, the big storms of deception begins to blow. And I've said it and I'll say it again, the big storms of deception are ahead of us. Oh yes, the big storms, the real deception. What we've seen so far and we've heard and all, these are lower levels. But the real deception is ahead of us. You see, and it all culminates into what Jesus said about the end times, the deception. You see, as the end time gets deeper into the times, and as the coming of the Lord, we get closer and closer. It's like everything increases. So deception is going to increase to the extreme points before we get to the real times. So we should understand that this season is the season of deception, but it's incremental. So it's gradually pushing up, gradually pushing up, gradually pushing up. That is why we have to secure ourselves before we get to that point. So that, you see, when we get there, you're already grounded. The hurricanes come, passes through some states, some houses, they don't get affected because the people have built it to resist hurricane force winds. So hurricane will blow, come through and all that, but their houses stand strong because they built it to the point where the hurricane resistance level is high. But other houses will be, all sorts of things, windows blown away and everything. But you see some neighbors, or even tornado, you see some of the news, a tornado will pass through a community and one or two houses standing and all other houses around collapsed. But then someone's house is still standing. Why? Because that house, there was resistance. That's how we should see ourselves and treat our spirituality and our belief and our faith now, because the times are ahead. But before we get there, how prepared are we to resist the storms of deception ahead? Because if we are not prepared, then, you see, we'll get to a point where even the church you may be in, the doctrine may be contaminated. So if you are not the type who has the foundation, how do you know it's time to move out? You may still be there, and then you, anything goes type of, if you are the type that anything goes, then you are in trouble. You see, so this is why we should be grounded. Okay, this one, Ivan says, good evening. Please, can I have a quotation saying something about an angel kill over? Okay, but that's what I read. Okay, that was, I think, before I read it. So, yeah. And then this one, John says, okay. Thailand sends me, okay. So, Thailand was a divorce who approved gay marriage in Thailand. More countries are going this way. You know, if you look at, I think they are playing the European football, and the logo, the colors, LGBT colors, and then the trans colors, and they've mixed it together. You know, it's like everything, the world has just decided that this is how we are going and this is how we are doing things. And that's how it is. So we are in the times where we should be grounded as believers. And that's why this deception series is very important, because when you know these things and you start seeing and identifying and hearing things, immediately your antennas pick up the signal that no, something is not right. You see, but one key thing is the word should be in you. If the word is in you, example, like the news I read about the angel, Assyrian army and all that. Assuming I've never read that story before in 2 Kings, as I read to you, maybe someone will want to read again. Let me just give that verse again. 2 Kings chapter 19. Assuming I've never read this verse before, I don't know the story. And I was reading the news, when I saw the angels kill 185,000, I would have believed it as a fact, because I don't know the story. This is the first time I'm reading, assuming. So when I see the angels kill 185,000, the key word angels is what I would accept, because that's what I'm being told. So maybe unless I go to the Bible and read before, I'll see that no, it was just one angel that did that operation. One. So you see, having the word in you, you may not remember the verse exactly. In my case, I didn't remember the verse, but at least I knew the story. I remembered the story. So as soon as I saw it, I said, no, it's angel, not angels. So let the word be in you, at least. Not necessarily memory. You can't memorize everything, but at least let it be in you. You may have forgotten, but when you hear a contrary thing against that one, as soon as you hear it, you realize that the original that you have in you, the signal, your signal will pick it that something is not right. There's a contrary thing. You see, that's how it should, that's why we need the word in us. Because if we don't have the word in us, how then can we define our position that this is what I believe in? I'm not changing my position. So let's endeavor as believers to get the word in us. Let's read it. Let's listen audio Bible. Let's get the word in us. We need the word in us because that becomes our foundation upon which we can apply all the various things we are talking about. Because mind you, a believer who hasn't got the word in him or herself, does not read, does not nothing, has no word in the person, the various things we are discussing, the person may not be able to apply them because minus the word, I mean, you are virtually open to anything, any deception, anything. Your defense system is virtually zero. But when you have the word, you have the basis, the fundamentals are solid in you, then you can apply all the various things you are talking about and all to secure yourself. And we should not feel that we've arrived. There is no point at which anybody can finish, say that I have the whole, I've finished the word of God. I'm an epitome of the word of God. I'm everything. I don't need to learn again. No. Every day is a learning day. There's always something new the Holy Spirit can teach us. There's always new, something new we can read, something new we can study. There's no end to learning the word of God. There's no end to understanding the word of God. There's no end to reading the word of God. You see, so meditating the word, there's no end. A verse which you've read before, you can read it the next day and you get a different insight into it. So the word of God should be something that we'll cherish more and more. Let's prioritize our times well to feature the word of God in our lives. You see, the devil is distracting us with so many things in these times, which is taking us away from the word of God. Let's be careful not to be distracted from the most important things in our lives these days, so that we prioritize our times well and make time for the word of God every day in our lives. All right, so thank you for listening. And this is recorded to be on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group as well. So good night and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa.